Echo and Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Zulu Echo and Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Zulu Echo and Zulu Uniform Whiskey. Anyone hanging out tonight? K-E-A-D-K-T on the K-A-F-C-I computer. Larry, you're on. This is Charles, K-E-A-D-K-T. By the way, Tom, will you be around? I believe that's November 8th, H-L-Y. I'm looking for you guys to talk with you there on the K-A-F-C-I repeater. This is K-E-A-D-K-T. I'll be standing by for a while.
Sounding a little crunchy on that last one.
Okay, this is in the mobile on my repeater. How's it sound?
There's some popcorn, but you're in solid.
Yeah, you're also popcorn.
Yeah, that one broke up, so I think I heard you say something about I'm popcorn. I don't know. Wasn't sure what you said.
Okay, how's this?
Maybe a little better, but still quite popcorn-y.
Okay, well, that's surprising. Could be ice on the antenna this morning.
That one was real good.
I'm on FBI now.
Roger. Alrighty, where you at?
Seventy-five and coming up on Big Beaver.
Alright, I'll head out in 5 minutes or so. Should put us about the same time.
Okay, try to park next to you so we can swap these beasts.
Okie doke, whoever gets there first. Find a spot to make that so.
All right, we'll see you there. ABPR.
W8FU.
W8FU, KZ8Z.
Crazy8Z. Go ahead.
got the meter working. Thank you for your help once again. SWR on it is super, super low. Like, the needle kind of moves, but barely, so I'm going to call it like a 0.1. And it's putting out 30 watts. The radio says it should do 40. And I'm running that OpenGD software on it. I think Greg was mentioning that he thinks there might be a calibration on the power out with that software. I'll have to look into that. But how's this sounding now?
Rock solid. Excellent. Full quieting.
Huh. And I don't know what was going on that day. The only thing I can attribute it to is maybe the snow on the roof. But there's snow on the roof right now. So that's a little odd, but I'm glad it sounded good now. Enjoy breakfast. Have a extra cup of Joe and maybe some corned beef hash for me. I'll have to make it back down there one day. Okay, thanks again for your help on this, Sean.
Yeah, no problem. No, you sound great. Nothing like the other day, so who knows? I mean, you know, the other thing, too, is, you know, could you add you have a flaky connector, and when you were putting the meter in line, you bumped it, so you could try wiggling the connector a little bit while you're talking and seeing the one that normally would plug into the back of your radio, see if, you know, see if the SWR jumps or anything, if you want to, you know, if you want to take that avenue, but who knows? All right, you sound great now, though.
Sounds good. Okay, 73 for W8FU, KZ8Z.
I'll be right with you. I am here. How far away are you? Must be getting in the car. Hey, dude, here. Boy, the subdivision streets are pretty slick. Yeah, I'm in the parking lot. All right, I'm about a minute away. Yeah, I was just really with my king up on my handy talkie. Just barely make it. Well, the fact that you can make it at all. Yeah, because I'm still sitting in the car. So, all right, I'm sitting here. Give me a peek. Okie doke, I'll be turning in and 10 seconds, so I think, do I see you yet? I don't know, I'll spot you. Take care. KZ8, are you H?
Nobody uses the radio on the weekend.
Well, when you get in the car, you call out and see if anybody's listening. What's going on?
Just got done with breakfast with the boys and just got home. So got a few things I want to research after discussing over coffee, and other than that, not much. Trying to figure out what the day is going to hold.
One of these Saturdays, I'm going to make it to breakfast with you guys. I always have stuff to do Saturday morning, though, so it's a tough one to get to. But that's cool. What are you researching? How did these fine gentlemen decide to cost you money on this fine Saturday?
No, we talked about all sorts of stuff. I'm looking up a contact information. One of the guys needs some tower work, and I have he needs to get some quotes, and I have some stuff rat-holed away I got to collect up and get an email off to him while it's fresh in my mind. And then a conversation came up talking about some aspect of AI I'm interested in, so I want to go down that rabbit hole a little bit. I'm almost afraid. Just stupid crap like that. Plus, I got to get an email off. Regarding something else that came up, a lot of things came up today. I've got a meeting on Monday that I may or may not attend based on conversation I had today, so just all sorts of weird stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, I know usually when I get involved in conversations and I have things to research, it means I learn something new and have to buy a new accessory or a piece of equipment. So that's why I asked. But that's good that they're not costing you money on this fine Saturday. It's pretty chilly out here, though. Might need to get some warm boots.
Did it maybe the last year or the year before? I don't know. It creeps up on you. Next thing you know, it's 2 years. But I really wanted to get a really good set of boots for when it was really cold and snowy. And I wanted a set of those. Like, remember the Sorels when we were kids? We all had Sorels. And I did some research, and I found they ain't quite all they were cracked up to be. So I found another set of felt packs, because I wanted felt packs. I believe that's what you call them. And the set that I ended up getting are supposed to be the ones to get. And I got to tell you, they're great. So I got those for when it really gets cold and snowy. And then I bought a parka the other day. A smoking hot deal on a parka up at Great Lakes Crossing, and you know, for when it really gets cold. I've already got the Arctic Line bibs, you know, and all that stuff, so I'm pretty good for the really, really cold. But hell, a day like today, this is almost summer.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have a pair of pack boots like you're talking about. I think they're lacrosse. I bought them, I don't know, 15 years ago when I was doing a lot of ice fishing. And man, they hold up. They are the warmest thing I've ever owned in my life. So happy I invested in them when I did. Because something like that, you don't, you know, you wear them a dozen times a year, two dozen times a year. You don't wear them out. They last forever. So it's worth the investment of some of these that are high dollar, high rated. It's worth the investment to get them. So, yeah, I love all my cold weather gear. I've had some pretty good stuff over the years and still do. So it's pretty nice to make that investment, and it stands the test of time and lasts several years for you. KE8RUH.
I ran and checked while you were chatting there, and it looks like the ones I got are made by Baffin. Have you ever heard of Baffin? I know I researched them. I don't do anything without research anymore. It's a disease.
Yeah, those are cool boots. Pretty high end. so that's good. I think some of those ones are definitely lighter than what I have. I have, like I said, mine are like 15 years old, the big rubber bottoms with leather uppers, and they're big clunking boots, but they're, when you need to put them on, it's worth the effort, that's for sure.
There you go. Yeah, the ones I got are just your classic felt packs, like, you know, like we might have had when we were kids. And they do have a, like a synthetic kind of like fur-looking type top on them. And I can't complain. They're great. I went to their website. Yeah, I forgot. These people are pretty serious. Canadian company. They know a little bit about cold. But they got this here. They got, where the hell did I just see that? Kush Unisex Hybrid Slipper. Oh, man, those look sweet.
Oh, boy. I might be the cause of you spending money today. Sorry about that. Hey, Sean, but I am at my first stop here, stopping at Costco, getting the weekend shopping done. So I will catch up with you soon. I should be in and out of here hopefully relatively quickly, and if I am, I'll give a call out. If you're still monitoring, I'll catch up with you later. KE8RUH, I'll be clear on your final.
All right. Be careful. The side streets are a little slick. I'm sure you know that by now. Catch you later, WFU. Well, you were quite crunchy on that transmission. I know somebody's in there, but quite a bit of noise.
I'm on the edge of the bird repeater. I'm up here at 9:46.
Okay, wherever you switch to now, it's you still got the popcorn, but the audio's a little clearer. It's a little bit better defined, so easier to copy through the noise.
I just switched to Mayville from the bird repeater. On my way to Traverse City.
Well, you got a little ways to go, and then you're on your own.
So how many people had breakfast today? I couldn't get myself up in time.
Kind of a low turnout. Had 8, and well, 9. And but one was pretty much leaving when the 9th arrived. So it's... you know, there's the 8 most important people, let's just say. So there, haha.
Very good. Yeah, when I saw the snow, I mean, my driveway has got a layer of ice underneath it. I'm hoping we get some sun to melt some of it, but I don't think we're going to get that today. It's looking gray.
Yeah, the side streets were pretty bad. They were pretty glazed over, and there was no braking to be had, so you got to be real careful. But once out on the main roads, it wasn't horrible. I'm showing, I don't know how accurate my internet temperature is. It's telling me it's 21 degrees, so it doesn't look like it's going to thaw anytime soon.
KE8, TFM.
Good morning.
got Dave and myself, and there's somebody traveling north, but I don't know, they're not, either not hitting a repeater or something, and this, I don't know if there's a third one. It's all confusing. That's a combination of confusing and confusion. Go figure.
What I get for not putting a mobile in the truck, I'm using an HT. KF8CWF.
Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I got confused because I had all the, had the dual standby on. I think Davian's in there. Go ahead, Davian.
I'm so confused. Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, I just turned on the car, listened for a second, it was quiet. So, yeah, I'm just going, picking up my son from his workout with the hockey team, so I'm going to head there and kill time scanning here on the radio and chatting. So good morning, guys.
Good morning. I just came in from breakfast. Breakfast with the guys, we usually do. Just looking to get some things knocked out here. We always have conversations that things I got to research, emails I got to do, things I got to send somebody. So I've been working on that since I walked in. So other than that, nothing much going on here. No more running kids anywhere. I know my grandson's got soccer this afternoon, so that's optional. I could run down there and do that. Anyhow, Dave?
Yep, I'm just catching up on work. I lost some time yesterday with that stupid car battery issue, so I'm kind of feel like I owe the company a little bit of time. So I'm just going to work for a few hours or 1 or 2 hours, and then I feel better about running out yesterday. But yeah, the car's fully charged. I'm just going to leave it on the charger in maintain mode until the next time I need to drive, and I think we'll be good. So I'm going to take the Curtis advice and put a auto auto shut off timer. There's a acronym for it, APO or something, automatic power off, and set it to like 35 minutes.
That's the one thing I like about this FTM 500 is the auto shut off. I got it set to 30 minutes, and I don't even bother turning it off anymore. I just leave it. And it works out really well. And it's pretty cool because when it's about the timeout, it gives a few beeps. So if you're still driving, you can kind of tap a knob to keep it going. So it works out really good. I like that feature.
Yeah, I got mine set to, I think, 2 hours. Probably could set it to lower than that, but have you ever had yours play that little melody, the little Beethoven or whatever, or Bach, just before it's ready to shut down? I couldn't figure out for the longest time what that little, why I was playing a little clip, you know, of classical music, just because, you know, but then I figured out, it's warning me it's going to shut down. Anybody else ever hear that, Dave?
No, I never heard that because I never said it. So is the automatic power off from the last time you touched the mic, or is it last time somebody talked, or is it just flat out 35 minutes? Maybe you know, Davian, go ahead.
Yeah, mine does have a tone. I don't know what the song is or not, but yeah, it's about 10 seconds before it goes off, or 30 seconds maybe. But no, the 30 minutes is from last operation of the radio, so if you're using it, it's going to be 30 minutes after you stop. So it has like 30, 60, 1.5, 2, I think, I don't know, something like that. But Yeah, it works out pretty well.
Yeah, if it makes the little tone while you're in the car, you can, I might set the 2 hours, so I don't notice it that often, but if you just grab the mic and key it up, it'll reset the clock.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I'm going to have to do that next time I'm out there and set that. Yeah, but that was the issue. It was the radio was running for a couple days, and I hadn't driven anywhere. In winter, I drive very rare. summer, I'll be zigzagging everywhere and stuff like that. But I just don't. When it's like this, I don't want to go anywhere. I just bury myself into work or other projects, and usually don't have to leave. Or I take the with the family in the other car. So that's what happened. Trying to think. I do the same thing with the All-Star Node, too. I was talking to Captain Don last night, and 1 a.m. hit, and my node just shut down. And I had to text him and say, sorry, I forgot. 1 a.m., my node just shuts off. So I just said goodnight, and that was it. But do the same thing. And then it comes back on at 9 o'clock in the morning, so it's kind of cool.
Yeah, hopefully there's you guys are on the radio tonight. My son's done here and I get back home, I'm gonna install that base antenna in the attic. So I wanna do some tests at 40 and 20 meters and just kinda see how things work with it. So as soon as I get home, I'm gonna do that. I went to do it last weekend and then I discovered I didn't have the right mast for mounting it, so I got that in from Amazon this week, so now I'm going to get up there and get that one installed since it's not completely bitter cold. So we'll see how that antenna works. If it works good enough, it's worthy of a telegram post.
Carry on for a few minutes. I got to tend to something here.
Yeah, I got to get my wire antenna up. It's been sitting in a box. And, the challenge is okay, but you got to go outside and you got to move the whip and stuff like that. And if it's windy, I can't use it, shut it down. But is there talk again that we're going to try to talk on 80 meter? I know Dakota was mentioning it yesterday. I don't know. I haven't been in Telegram today.
Yeah, I heard him mention that. I didn't check Telegram yet, but yeah, I can't talk on 8. Well, I can talk, but only with the 705. That tuner will tune my NFED, but the my 710, I can only tune. I think the lowest band I can tune is 15 meters. So 15, 10, and 6 I can, but beyond that I can't. But the IC705, the tuner for that, the ICOM tuner, I think I could clip it to the fence and it would tune it. So that's but I tried the last time we were on 80. Of course that was a bad night, but the last time everyone was on I could barely hear everybody, so even though I tuned, it's not doing real well.
I'd be curious, even at night, would we be able to talk on 10 meter and, ground wave? Would we be able to hear each other? Because I obviously it's not going to skip at night, but I'm wondering if that would be better. The only thing that would indicate that maybe it wouldn't be is the guy, when I was trying it, the guy at Wetzel, he was like almost F0 or whatever, and that's not that far for me, like 4 or 5 miles, so maybe that wouldn't work. But people used to talk on CB, and they had less, there was less power back then, and other than people that were bumping their power. But I wonder if that would work better. There's more frequencies and stuff. Or we could even try, well, not everybody's got 2 meter. I would say that you could just try 2 meter sideband.
Yeah, I think 10 meters would actually work fine, but it's hard to say. I think if we're all vertically polarized, no problem at all, I think. I think there wouldn't be a real big issue. But, at night I think it would work. I mean, it's kind of funny, like a year ago, I happened to scroll through the CB band, and there was some local people here in Shelby and Rochester that were all talking on CB. So they had some pretty decent distance between them, and I could hear them at my house, and it sounded all okay, so. No, I think we could do 10 meters, but 2 meter sideband works great. I mean, I don't have really any problems at all with 10 watts I haven't been on the USICA sideband, that's Professor Gom passed away, but I never had any problem hearing everybody on that. 2 meter sideband, to me, that's the way to go local. KDATFM.
KDF, yeah, I still have that antenna on my electric meter. I'm thinking I would do better with that if I just put it in one of the upstairs rooms and just put it by the window on a cookie sheet. That'd probably be better than where it is outside on the electric meter. I need to try that. I just haven't had a chance to really experiment with that. But the purpose was that I wanted it to go to my office, and I had run it, underground and stuff like that. But I don't know if it really does much good on the side of the house where I've got it. I need to put it up higher.
Yeah, don't be shy about the attic. You'll be surprised how much. I haven't seen your house, but I'm guessing you have a peak on the top. I was quite surprised. I got 12 feet, from the base where I'm walking up to the peak of the roof. So there's plenty of room up there. So I'll have that big one that I'm installing. I got a long wire kind of meandered through the whole up attic, and then I got the ditch cone in the corner. And the whole setup works pretty good, and you don't got to deal with wind and all that stuff. I think the hardest part is just getting the coax down, but once you get past that, the attic is a good place. I don't know. I've never done an AB like in the attic and outside, but I mean, absent from the noise problem where I live, it's not bad at all. I don't really notice that much of a difference.
KF8S, yeah, that's probably the biggest issue is figuring out how to get the cabling down. I did take notes when they were building. There is a cold air return that just goes, it just drops, it goes from the top floor all the way to the bottom into the basement, and I could run a coax there, and since it's a cold air return vent, I'm not worried about it melting or anything, but just getting the coax over there and things like that. I'll probably do some investigating maybe at the end of February, maybe beginning of March when it starts getting a little bit, once we start getting into the upper 40s, maybe 50s, it does get very cold in the attic in the winter, so. But you can walk around in there. The thing is, I probably have to put a mask on. There's a lot of dust particles from the blown-in insulation, so I just have to put a good mask on so I don't have to breathe that in. I'll just be coughing and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, surprisingly, that blown-in insulation doesn't have a lot of dust or anything with it. I mean, that you can see, right? I'm sure it's there. But I found that wasn't too bad. I mean, the one thing I do notice is that I probably should go back up there and blow some more insulation, because after I've walked back and forth a few times, that insulation's designed to stay in that, puffy, 1 foot off of the rafters. And once you start stepping on stuff and pushing it down, I'm sure I'm kind of hurting some of the insulation. But yeah, I got lucky that the cold air return to the basement actually runs through the closet on the second floor next to my stairs, so I was able to cut a hole in the drywall and basically access it right where it was, and I was able to drop into it. So still didn't fix the drywall, but at least it's in a closet, you can't see it. So I was able to, I had to go through like four studs because it was right where something met up, so I rebuilt it getting the holes through that. But now that the holes are there, I think I'm going to pick up some coax and get a third one, because I'd like to have this antenna that I'm installing, the disc cone, and then I'll put a long wire there as long as I can string up to do like 80 and 160. But yeah, I got lucky where the cold air return was. But nothing really lines up like you would expect. Like I said, I had to go through like five studs, six studs, because the headers all met up at the same spot. So it was a little bit difficult. But once it's done, it's done.
Yeah, this one goes to the bathroom. So what I'm thinking is if I could access the vent, there's got to be like a cold air vent somewhere near it, and maybe I can fish some stuff through there. But yeah, I have to go look through my old pictures, because I went through and just took pictures of everything when they hadn't put the drywall in or anything like that. So I know I've got some archive pictures of the cold air thing. I know it's a big, huge tube too. It's like trying to think of how, you know, maybe like a foot in diameter. It's like big cold air return, and it just like all the things like connect to it on all the levels. It's kind of neat how they did it, and I see where it comes in the basement, and all I have to do is tap into that and just get the wire going down there, tap into it at the bottom in the basement, and then just run the coax over to my office, and it should be good. Of course, there'll be some loss, running that long of wire. It's probably going to take about 100 foot, so we'll see. But yeah, there's a really big peak where I could put the antenna, so I might even have an area in the garage, if I can access the garage attic too, and put something over there as well.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised how little coax I needed. You know, it's really not that high from the basement up to the attic. It seems worse than it is, but I actually got a trim, because I bought 100-foot piece with the connectors already on it, and I probably have at least 10 feet more than I need in the attic. But I just left it so I could go to like the worst case spot if I wanted to. And then in the basement, geez, I must have 30 feet coax just coiled up. So one of these days I gotta chop that down, and now that I think the home's permanent where everything's at, I gotta chop that down and reclaim. But LMR 400, you're not losing that much. I mean, yeah, you do a little bit, you know, 400 megahertz, but not below that. Below that, you're fine if you're using a, you know, a decent coax like the 400. KE8 TFM.
Yeah, if I'm going to do this, I'm running two or three coaxes up there, maybe some Ethernet. I'm just going to, like, do all at once. So I got to make a big plan. Maybe run a couple lines of Cat 5 or 6 or whatever the latest one is that's going to future-proof me for years, because it'll be the one and only time that I ever do it. And then run maybe two lines of coax up there, one for HF and one for UHF, VHF, and that should be good. You know, I'll probably end up buying like 200 feet of coax, and I can put my own ends on it. I don't mind doing that. But just, you know, having 200 foot would probably be enough, and then I'll have extra. But there's a thing I've learned though with the mesh-tastic stuff, and I don't know if this is going to affect the UHF VHF stuff, is that there seems to be some kind of metal material in the shingles that is disrupting the signals. Like, I was better off putting the antenna outside my window and getting better signals, and even putting it at the highest peak of the attic. So I gave up putting my mesh tastic devices in the attic because there's something interfering with it.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was starting to think the same thing because, you know, with HF, it's not a big deal. It's such a long wavelength, it's just not going to be a problem. But, yeah, 900 megahertz, I mean, you're, you know, the wavelength's smaller than the surface you're trying to go through, so it should definitely, you know, play a role and affect it, you know, somewhat. I agree with you. I was thinking the same thing. I got to try to get that pulled out and find a better spot for it. So, yeah, I haven't really found a practical use for mesh tastic. I think if you like playing with the server stuff and all that, it might be a little better. But, yeah, for me, I'm kind of like, okay, I kind of lost interest in it, you know, when it just didn't work right away. So probably in the spring when I can get the antenna more outside, maybe I'll get back into it again. We'll see. I don't know. KE8, TFM.
Yeah, if you have a Raspberry Pi, if you have an extra Raspberry Pi, I can loan you, you can borrow one of my, or if you want to buy it off me, whichever. I've made 5 of those Meshtastic hats. It's like, you know, my price for it was, you know, what I paid for it was like $34. And I have each for 5 to be built. You might have better manufacturing results, but if you want to, I can give you the info if you want to build your own. And I don't know if you have to do a minimum order or anything like that, but if you're interested in building your own, I have it's basically a 1-watt Pi hat, and it's got an LNA in it, you know, all that, it's in the chip, so it picks out low noise better. So not only does it transmit better, but it should receive better as well. But yeah, you definitely have to get the antenna outside somehow. So if you have like a windowsill that you can, like for me, I've got like this extension on the first floor, which gives me like a little tiny roof a little bit, and I can access it from my main bedroom. And I was able to put like the antenna outside, and I can hit Macomb and Mount Clemens and Greg sometimes. And then this other one, Pine Tree Acres, which is like up Gratiot somewhere near New Haven, like 26 and maybe 27, I don't know, somewhere up there. So it does work. You just need some power. But if you're interested in the, you know, the bomb, you know, building materials, all that stuff, or if you just want to borrow one of mine to play with it, you can.
No, I'll try one out. I'll just buy one off you. I mean, whatever. I'll share the cost with you to experiment with it. So, yeah, just give me a price, and I'll try one out, and we'll see if that works any better. Because I'm kind of hesitant to use that amp I bought, even though one day here I want to play with it. I know that it's beyond the limit, so I really don't want to be using it because I don't understand all the information in that being sent, and I don't want to create any problems because there's always going to be that one guy that's like, oh, he's overpowered. I don't want to deal with that headache. So, yeah, I'll buy one off you. As long as you give me a little bit of support if I run into an issue installing everything on the Raspberry Pi, I'll definitely take one and see if that little bit of power kind of helps. I'm going to try them out and everything in a different spot, like I said. So, yeah, I like that module because it kind of got me thinking if I get some time, that Yagi that I built, that PCB Yagi, that thing matches really well. I want to characterize it and just kind of see, you know, how well it actually works in the real world. But I was thinking of making that PCB Yagi and then having the module integrated directly on it. That's what your project got me thinking. That same module right on that, and then you have the antenna, the module, and everything. So there's just a power feed to it, and that's it, you know, or with a connection to an ESP32 or something like that. So, yeah, we'll see if I get bored and I have a day that I can kind of throw it integrating that into that PCB antenna that I made.
Yeah, you just need to find a, either a Pi 3 or a Pi 4. Then those will work best. You could probably use a Pi 0. You got to get the headers for it and all that. A Pi 0 2W, you got to get the headers for that. But if you have a spare 3 or 4, you know, 3 is probably good enough. You don't need to put a full 4 on it. And then if you have, like, wired Ethernet to it, then you can access it. And you do Wi-Fi too, but if you have wired Ethernet, the nice thing is like all you have to do to update, you know, the quote-unquote firmware. It's not really a firmware at this point because it's a Pi hat. You know, the Pi hat's just a dummy little modem at this point. Instead of having a firmware for it, you just have a you're interfacing through GPIO pin, so it's all software that runs on the Debian install. So all you do is to update it, you run like one command, right? Go fetch this Debian file and install it. Maybe two commands, you know, one to fetch the file, second one to install it, and then you've upgraded. Like, that's all you have to do, and you can do that all through terminal or, you know, whatever, however you're comfortable. What I did is I took the All-Star 3 image, and, you know, that's got cockpit on it, you know, the remote admin stuff that you can do through web browser, and then you can just open a terminal through that, through there. Or you just do system update. You know, you just click on the button for do OS updates. So you don't even have to go in the terminal. And then it'll recycle, you know, it'll do the update, and maybe you got to do a reboot, and then you're done. And you don't have to worry about going up to where your device is and, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, you can do it all from remote.
We'll break real quick. If there's any other stations there that want to jump in. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that sounds like it's a little, be pretty simple to do. I think I'm definitely going to take your idea of getting coax to the output. I didn't even think about doing that. Because right where everything is on the attic, I'm going to put an electrical box in my ceiling above the top shelf in our walk-in closet. And so this way I can have, like, any Raspberry Pis and things like that, like my All-Star node. I'm going to have all that stuff inside the house. And then I'm just going to go through the ceiling into the attic where antennas and stuff like that are at. And then for Meshtastic, I think I can get a simple mount to put the antenna on the very back of my house outside. And then there's like a roof vent on the overhang on the side of my house. I'm just going to put a new one there, and that's where I'll bring the coax into the attic. So this way everything is all contained inside the house, and I'm definitely going to put a couple runs of Ethernet cable up there, and because I have a switch already in my basement connected to my mesh routers, so I just got to actually get the cable to it. So yeah, it sounds like that would work out really well. But yeah, one of these days I'll come by and pick it up. I do have an extra Pi, so I think I have a 4, if I'm not mistaken. That's what it is. So yeah, I'll definitely. We'll take one and try it and see if that 1 watt puts me on the grid with everybody else.
Yeah, it was a little challenging to install the Meshtastic stuff. So maybe when I get bored, I think I'm going to make an image for it, because I know like Greg's interested in it and probably Eric. So. Just give me some time to get all that straightened out, and that way we'll just have an SD card image with it already on it, and then all you have to do is anytime you need to reinstall or whatever, you just flash that image and update the OS or whatever needs to be done, and you'll be done. I'll try to use the ASL3 image, even though All-Star won't be necessarily running on it. They've got a lot of those, like, little extra things, like the you know, the web admin and things like that. So that's the only reason why I think I might base it off of that. So, but yeah, that'd be cool. But yeah, might take me a while to get to that point. But I'll put it on my list of things to do to get people a little bit more interested in Meshtastic. And even if you can get this to the point where it's like set and forget, even if you lose interest for a while, you can just let it sit for a while and, you know, kind of coast and that. And I also have a feeling at some point down the road, we will probably use these modem thing boards for something else. There's going to be something that supersedes or replaces Meshtastic. It'll be something better. So I think we're just at the beginning of all this stuff, like better route, you know, something that does better routing, does better, you know, ideas, you know, makes it more efficient and workflow. I've already seen some YouTube videos of a project where people were doing stuff like that. You know, the other thing I was thinking, you know, you're putting that stuff on the roof. In some of the videos I was watching, this guy just went and rented a bucket truck, and he was just, like, mounting all this stuff on his roof with a bucket truck. It cracked me up.
Well, renting a bucket truck is smart because the rental fee for the bucket is much smaller than your insurance deductible when you're in the emergency room. Kind of like taking an Uber when you've been drinking instead of driving your own car. To me, it makes perfect sense. Get the right tools so you don't hurt yourself. Get it all done in one day. Yeah, no, I think you're right with the Meshtastic. I hear though that, like, All-Star, the Meshtastic stuff, like, because there's a lot of, like, projects that I'd like to do. Like, I've always wanted to do the home automation stuff. I wanted to do a few things with Node-RED. You know, for some home automation. And I wish that All-Star installed on the Raspberry Pi, like, just a regular application. So somebody like me who's just not into servers and all that stuff can log into a comfortable desktop, double-click an icon, see that it's running, make any changes, and have multiple programs, like All-Star, Node-RED, the HIO, the home automation, software, and then, of course, Meshtastic, you know, something like that so you can, because the Raspberry Pi is definitely capable to run all of that stuff. I mean, they're not very demanding once they're set up and running, so I wish there was a kind of install more like that to make it a little bit friendlier for, because, I mean, let's face it, if you're not into stuff, someone like me is not going to learn how to install software. If it wasn't for the instructions there, Casey, where I can just follow them and it happens to work, I mean, I wouldn't be playing with all those different settings. I just don't know what they are. I don't got the time to learn it now. I'm an electrical engineer, so that's kind of my thing. But, yeah, I wish they would set up the install like that just so it's a little bit more accessible for people like me that don't want to be overwhelmed with all of the little command line steps.
I'm getting reports that my audio is bad again. Switched radios. Is this better?
I don't know. I didn't think your audio was bad before. If you wouldn't have said anything, I wouldn't have even noticed anything, I don't think. So I don't think it sounds that bad. So, I mean, I guess I'll start listening to it. But it takes some really bad audio before I say something. It's kind of funny when you and Dakota were talking last night, and you're like, I wish someone would have told me sooner. And he's like, well, I didn't know what radio you were on. I didn't want to crap all over your purchase. That's kind of how I feel. I don't want to point out what, because I don't know what people are using. I don't want to create problems. So it takes a lot for me to point out bad audio.
Which repeater are you on, Dave? I think it might be, are you on Mount Clemens?
Oh, I'm on the Dave special. I'm in my, the volume might be turned up too loud, and it's, the audio in might be overdriven. I backed away from the mic, and, you know, I get excited when I start talking about this stuff, and then I talk louder, so I wonder if that was it. So I backed away from the mic. Is it better now?
Yeah, I just thought you were maybe on the Mount Clemens, which sounds bad, so my bad. I should have said something. Yeah, you were overdriven, and you are not now.
or if you are, it's significantly reduced.
Alrighty. Okay. Yeah, I'm going through some iterations. I'll get this all figured out. It's just an H3 for the receive radio, and you gotta basically tune it with the volume control on the radio, and then obviously simple tune. So those both have to jive together. So, and then I don't know about the pre-emphasis and de-emphasis setting. Maybe I need to goof around with that a little bit too.
Let me see if I got it. All right, I'll be a little hypersensitive to it then, knowing that. So, anywho, carry on. W8FU.
Roger, roger. Well, I appreciate the audio report, even though I know I made a big stink about it last night. I was just in a bad mood last night for other things, but stupid car. Yeah. We'll get to all this. I also have a feeling that this is just practice. You know, this mesh-tastic stuff is just practice for when I don't even remember what it's called now. MI8, MI6, the WAN stuff where we're going to be able to, like, when they have the public Wi-Fi thing where we can point our antennas at the at one of the towers and be on the private 44NET or whatever, or the ham version of the 44NET, how about that? I think that's cool. I'm looking forward to that at some point.
Why can't we do voice over these LoRa radios?
You actually can. Not with the mesh-tastic stuff, but I have seen other people tinkering with it. And you basically would be sending a file. You know, you would talk, and it would send a file. So it's not quite like what you're thinking here, where you just talk digitally. But there's no reason why it couldn't. I don't know what the range would be, you know.
Yeah, I haven't dug in enough to see kind of how it works. Like, is it just, the radio can only operate at a certain duty cycle and that's what the problem is, or is it just the way the software stacks work on the module? I was kind of curious by that, like, you know, that got that whole band space that's open, you know, why is there just not, like, regular RF communications at that frequency? You know, it seems like it would be doable. I mean, because then we could all get the AC705, the other one that does all the higher frequency stuff. Now radios like that start to make a little more sense.
Yeah, or some manufacturer finally makes a 900 megahertz ham radio, but it's because the U.S. is the only one that has that band, you know, like. UK uses 868 and all that stuff, it is possible. I don't know if you've ever, have you put your SDR on 906.875? Have you, seen the packets for mesh-tastic? It's basically 250 kilohertz wide, but it's, like, really fast, like burst, 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 burst. And, you know, that's why, text messages don't take much, thing, but you know the thing is, you can go slower, less bandwidth, but then the data rate is down, the error rate is up. So there's like this fine balance between all this stuff, you know. So and we got the digital voice modes. I'm always just disappointed in those because like why couldn't somebody just make a wider and I know that it was invented for the reasons of bandwidth constraint, but why not take advantage of the 25 kilohertz and have some higher quality? You know, the compression codecs that we have out there now, that what we can do at 90, you know, it's a 9600 baud radio, basically, or, you know, we should be able to have decent audio at 9600 baud.
No, I agree with you. I think you're right, though, at the time, maybe they couldn't do it. But, yeah, it's hard for me to get into the digital modes because the sound of everybody, it kind of gets irritating. I don't like listening to it. It's, I'll talk a little bit with it, but, you know, it's like if I know I'm talking fusion through a repeater, I know that repeater can do analog. I'd prefer to be on analog and have better audio quality.
Yeah, maybe put this on your to-do list, or, you know, when I have time for this down the road 5 years from now or whatever, but check out Free DV, Free Delta Victor. That's been making some waves. You know, it can be done on HF, but you can also do it, you know, with our 705 and stuff on 2 meter and 70 centimeter. It doesn't really make sense because, like you said, you could just talk with your analog walkie-talkie. But if you really want to see what's possible with digital and how it make it sound better, I think the Free DV, the one that does like the best audio quality, actually sounds really good. I mean, if you're on HF with it, for example, and you have a really good signal between both parties, it really sounds like, you know, kind of like almost telephone quality, I guess, maybe even a little bit better than that. And so I was amazed at that. Back when we first tried it out, you know, a couple of us were goofing around with that, and we were able to, Captain Don and I put it on, like, the really super high quality. We were, like, you know, 2 miles away from each other, so it worked really good. But I was amazed at what they're doing with that. And they have funding for it, so they keep on iterating on it, and it's getting better every iteration.
Yeah, it's kind of funny you mentioned put this on the list. I was organizing some stuff last night for work, and I'm like, you know what? I should just make a Trillo board for ham radio and start writing some cards for all these different things. And then at least I have a list, and I can kind of go through the items and you know, maybe if there's a list of them and it's organized, I'm more apt to making the time to mess with it. And it's kind of funny you mentioned that. I was thinking about that, just making a Trillo board with all the ham radio projects that I try to make time for and never do.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. And then, like, you know, as time goes on, right, your list will change. You might go, well, that was relevant, you know, when we first talked about it, but now there's this new thing that's better, or there's something else, and, yeah, so there's never any shortage of tinkering projects. I think when there isn't any tinkering projects left for us to do, that's when I'll probably stop doing ham radio. But if I can kind of meld the computer world and the radio world, I've been happy. You know, things that I can tinker with on the computer and on the radio, and you know, still do the old stuff, try some new things. As long as that keeps on happening, I think I'll be happy.
Yeah, with the one thing we got to keep in mind too, like the Mastastic stuff and things like that. My software engineer, I mean, he's I'm going to put him at expert level with ESP32 programming and things like that. He's really good with the Android apps and Linux programming. You know, he's a really good software engineer, and he loves just messing with random things that, you know, our customers give us to kind of mess with. So if there's anything that, like, we really want with, like, Meshtastic, like, if I give him a mission that he finds interesting, he will figure it out and make it work for us. So keep that in mind if you have any, like, cool projects, because I keep trying to drag him into it, you know, and get him in. I almost got his brother, who is my hardware, one of my hardware engineers, and he bought SDR radios and stuff like that. I'm trying to get him to to get his license in Romania and get into the radios, but I kind of want to get these guys into, like, the All-Star notes and stuff like that. So, yeah, if you guys come up with something, we could definitely put him on the case, and he'd probably figure it out for us in about a week. So we do have that option if there's something cool we want. KE8TFM.
KF8S. Yeah, if he's really good with those EST32 boards and he wants to mess around with some radio LoRa stuff, he should get one of those LilyGo T-Decks. So, like, you know, out of the box, it's kind of meh. But it does have a decent display on it. It's got, you know, it's got a keyboard built into it. I've taken it apart when I needed to mod the antenna. I put a, you know, bigger antenna on mine. And then they have, like a bootloader thing. I forgot what it's called. They have this bootloader thing you can put on your SD card. And then all you have to do, you know, especially if he's, like, somebody who likes to tinker and play around, all you have to do is put the new firmware on the SD card, reboot the LilyGo, and then select the file from the list, and he can try out new firmwares, and then, like, if that doesn't work, he can go back to the old firmware without having to, you know, hook up the computer or anything. It's just, like, it's just files on your SD card, and you can reload it. And I guess there's probably a way to actually access the SD card for, you know, storage and putting config files and stuff like that, but if he's really into that, he probably would like that. It's beyond my skill level, but and beyond my interest at the moment, but I see really big potential to that thing.
Well, he's still single and lives on his own, so that might be the case, but he's 27, so 28, so time is running out, so right now is a good time. So I think it'll take more to get him into the radio, but I got a lot of customers who'll just have us research different things, and he loves getting in and figuring out, like, exactly how things work, and, you know, we have a lot of projects where we just write drivers for different things for people. So he likes digging into how it works and then loves explaining it very simple, like what he figured out. So it's convenient for me because I don't like digging into the deep. I like delegating it out and getting the answer. So, so yeah, if we come up with something cool that we think would be helpful, we can throw them on the case and we could probably get some pretty cool features and stuff like that. So I'll have to start digging into it, and yeah, once we decide, like, what we need, we can, maybe I'll have him down the repositories and just get to where he's, you know, looking at the stuff and seeing how it's all organized, and then once we have the idea for him, we can throw him on it.
Yep, sounds good. Yeah, I don't have anything in mind right now. You know what would be cool is, like, having, like an all-star monitoring thing where, you, like, if somebody's on the hub, or even, you know, monitoring, like, FBI's dashboard or whatever, and it kind of sends you, like, an alert, you know, not too annoying, but, like, oh, somebody's been talking for about 2 minutes. Maybe you want to check out the activity going on over here or something.
Well, we definitely got all kinds of fun stuff, so. All right, well, I'm going to let you go. My son's getting out of work out here, so I'm with you. I'll be on the radio later looking for somebody to help me test my antenna out tonight, so hopefully we could try that out. And then I think we should try the 10-meter thing and that, and won't be able to do 80, but we can definitely do 40 and below, so. All right, well, take it easy, man. I'll be clear on your final. KE8TFM.
Alrighty, sounds good. Good. Back to doing a little work things, and then try to fix the audio on this thing so it's not as annoying. I know I'm close, but just there's a couple things I gotta tweak. So, all right, talk to you later. KF8S.
KFA, BOT, mobile.
KFA, BOT, the mobile. This is LUD, ADFK. We're at 13 miles to Quinder.
Good morning to you, almost afternoon. This is Eric. I am up just west of Holly, heading out to do a little bit of shopping.
West of Holly, okay. We was out there a couple weeks ago to look at the memorial, the Veterans Memorial Cemetery out there. Nice drive out there. Thank you, Eric.
As a matter of fact, that is where I work. Back to you.
I, you know what? I think listen, you and I had talked to boy, I'm having a little didn't we meet out there?
Yep, I was trying to remember why your call sign sounded so familiar. Yep, that was me.
Well, how about that? Didn't ring a bell right away, but, yep, I got you now. Well, good. You ever get down this way?
I haven't, Kyle. I was kind of under the weather last week, but every, about once a month I get down that way, down Livonia-ish, down in Warren, those areas. But I haven't yet, at least not down there, but I'm always up for a good road trip.
In mind when you do, I usually hang out on a dart that's 146.64 and Simplex. I try to keep that one available as well on Simplex. I turned it down, I forgot to turn it back up. It just reminded me. So, of course, you have my numbers, so whatever way works, we'd be glad to talk with you, have a cup of coffee or whatever. So, yep, there continue to be some changes out there as far as the accommodations for you.
Other than that cold snap, being a little bit more chilly, everything's still going well out there. I'm getting ready to go down to St. Louis for some training in March for my job, and that'll be a nice little break for a week, even though I really despise St. Louis, but I'm not a big city person anyway, but it'll still be a nice little break. I get out enough, though, usually two or three times a week just doing benefits outreaches and trainings and stuff for different groups. So that keeps me, you know, from getting too stagnant. Over.
You're good. You're going to drive down or you're going to fly down to St. Louis?
I usually like driving, just I like driving anyway, and that way I can just kind of take my time and I'm not stuck having to get a taxi or an Uber or anything, or if I want to go get dinner out, I can do that. And also just kind of stop if I see something interesting.
I think driving is probably the better option, especially nowadays with all the fiasco you got to have. Getting to the airport and getting through, getting on an airplane, going through all the hassles they give you. So I imagine it's really cut into the enjoyment of flying. There's not much enjoyment in flying. So, yep. And after driving around the country in a semi, I just drive myself. So, well, very good. We'll have a good time. That's coming up in a couple months, was it?
Yeah, I believe it's mid-March. But, yeah, it was really nice meeting you and your wife. That was a nice chat. I could have sat up there for a couple more hours.
Yeah, we enjoyed meeting you as well. And it reminds me, I got to get that paperwork, go over that paperwork.
Don't be in any hurry. We always keep a light on.
But, you don't reserve a certain plots for certain people, do you?
No, everything is done as for whatever the next available space is. I kind of wish we did, but it would just be a logistical nightmare.
I understand, but I asked that question after you left, and I thought that's what they usually do now. You buy a certain plot, but since you're not buying it, they're giving it to you. You take what you're given, I guess. So, all right. But once one of us passes, then the other one's put at the same location. I think that's the way it works.
Yep. Both of them will be in the same grave site, whether casket or cremated. So either way, you'll be within a slapping distance.
Very good. So, I take you around here, mobile. Heading out for a lunch, or you're heading home, or what's your destination?
Heading up to do some grocery shopping for the week, since the weather's pretty decent, and was going to do it last night, but that completely went south with all the ice. We ended up here. It took me over 45 minutes just to get the 7 miles from work to home last night, so I am making use of the clear skies and filling up my refrigerator for the week.
Yep, I got some background noise on the other channel here. Anyway, well, what took you so long getting home? Was it the traffic or the road condition, or what was the, what was it? I know that it was changing after the rain. And we got some snow here, so the roads must have been a little challenging.
Yeah, we ended up getting probably close to 3 inches of snow, but it was so warm as cars were driving on the roadways. It was just compacting it straight into a sheet of ice. So traffic was like 5 to 10 miles an hour tops.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't think, even with the bad weather, because you're not that far away. Interesting. All right. Well, I'll let you get out of your shopping. I'm good to hear you. And the more I talk to you, the more you'll come to my mind when I hear you.
Yeah, I'm really glad to hear from you again. I actually just saw the card you filled out just this morning when I was getting ready to go out. I had a breakfast and coffee with a group of guys that do a lot of QRP that meet every month on the first Saturday at the restaurant local. So that was kind of cool. I'd never been to that. So got to meet a few other ham operators in the area and chit-chat and drink some coffee, and all in all, it's been a good morning. But yeah, kind of a surprise. I just had looked at your card, and I was going to reach out to you again just to see how you were all were doing.
Yeah, we're doing.
Well, keep it on that way, and I will talk to you again very soon. I am just about to pull into the grocery store here, So I'm going to say 73, and you enjoy the rest of your day there.
73, Eric, KF8BLT. This is ADFK.
73, KF8BOT.
See that, Sean? You were wrong. You said nobody used your repeater on Saturday. That ain't KPP.
KE8MYN, KE8MYN, this is N0, UEP. KE8MYN, KE8MYN, this is N0, UEP.
W8FU, ADAT here.
NAKPP.
W8FU. From N8NM.
Hey, you guys, I think I figured something out.
Test 1-2, test 1-2-3-4. Test 1-2-3-4, and 8-NM.
Audio seems a little light.
Ah, okay, there you are. Let me bump it up a little bit. Okie dokie. There, we bumped it up a little bit. How's that?
Probably okay. I switched repeaters, though. I was on Phil's, and I just switched over to Warren so I could hear it clearer. so there could be a difference in the repeaters. But maybe if someone else is out there, I can judge against.
Judging is good.
If anything, it's still a little light. It's definitely not overdriven or over or too much. Since the question whether it's enough, and I think it is. So.
Okay, I went up hotter, and I'm looking at the bar graph and the tune application, and it's like off the charts.
Yeah, that's definitely no.
You want to compare?
Go back.
ADAS.
Okay, I thought I heard somebody else in there, an 8 and M.
Yeah, I was just trying to give Sean another audio source. But I've been struggling with my audio today, too, so I don't know if I'm the best judge. KF ADAS.
All right. They sound similar. I don't know. How do I sound compared to Steve? Or how do I sound compared to Dave, Steve? That way there's a comparison. Dave's a little lighter than Steve. Now how do I compare to the other two, Steve?
You're a little louder, but that may be your rig.
Okay, I'd say that's the same with you with respect to Dave, but Dave just recently whacked his down because it was real hot. So, Dave, you might have went just a little too far.
All righty. Well, I'll retune again. But, all right, I'll just leave it here for now, since at least it's not... At least it's not overdriven, so I'd rather be a little bit quieter than overdriven. All right, I'll let you guys work it out. I'm going to switch back KF8S.
Yeah, no problem. It's just you're a little lighter than Steve and I think. But, yeah, you're right. Yeah, better to be a little under than over. Anywho, so that's the new note, Steve. That's the 6801 or whatever.
Yep, this is it. All ICOM.
Well, there you go. Good to have your eyesight back, eh?
Oh, man. You ain't kidding. That really sucked.
You're out on my electric bill.
We're gonna drop the hammer.
Get off my grass.
Fred, were you mean to Jack the other day?
I just had enough, Jack. I was like, Jack, you said you were leaving. Maybe you should go away. And then 2 seconds later, he's back calling other people. I had enough, Jack.
Told me this morning, he said, oh, yeah, that's okay. He goes, I like Fred. I really, Fred, good guy. He goes, so he told me twice. Hey, Shy, shut up.
He said he was leaving to go have dinner. I said, I was bothered, you know. And then... came back and was telling her, alright, Jack, take a break for the night.
Oh, you.
Hmm.
I know, I'm a horrible person. It's fine.
I don't know. I've known some pretty rotten people.
I mean, normally I just stun a radio, but, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and not be the number one son of.
N-A-N-M.
Double U-A-F-U.
W-F-S-M.
W-8-F-U.
Thomas?
I am relatively certain of it.
All right, doing my first test on printer number two, so I figured I'd work on printers before I start working on circuit boards, because there were so many boxes everywhere.
You working on the mush-tastics?
Well, they're all sitting right in, to the left of me here, but I need to get, I got the new printer, one printer completely installed and running. I got a second printer upgraded, and then I just did the MMU add-on, and I'm doing it test right now. And I think I might take a break. I got the last printer to do this upgrade on it. Then I'm done with the printer upgrades, then I can get working on circuit boards.
Sounds like a plan. Got a little something going on in your signal. I don't know what it is. I want to listen to more before I comment. Well, no, I guess not. I'm commenting now, but before I guess what it might be. Almost sounds like you got some noise in the background. But anyhow, I looked at the client radios. Looks like we have some short-range ones and some long-range ones. Familiar with the difference?
All right, if I turn this way, did that noise go away? I was hearing it myself. I think it's because I'm getting interference on the 2.4. The long range, probably you're going to see 2 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz. Those are going to be your two differences. The XLs are probably they're just higher gain antennas, but the big difference to look at is that if it's an XL2 or just a 2, then that's a 2 gigahertz. If it's a 5 or 5 XL, that's 5 gigahertz, and this means differences in antennas.
All right, well, I think we put an Omni up at Sterling. And I'm nine and a half kilometers away. That's what I'm gonna attempt. Propagation study says I got the line. But you know, if for any reason it doesn't work, you know, I'll just wait for us to make, you know, get the sector antennas up at Warren, and whatever I grab will just use there instead. But you know, if I've got the line and talking 9.5 kilometers to an Omni at Sterling, you think I'm going to need to go with the long range one, or what do you think?
Yeah, if you've got an XL, 5 gigahertz XL, I'd use that one.
Okay, I'll sift through them, see what we get. I got to figure out how I'm going to get it mounted good and solid. Can't put it on my noodly mast.
You don't want a wet noodle on the air just going wee.
Oh, but I do.
Yeah, I kind of figured you did. While I was sitting here tearing apart this printer, I had a paying job come in, so. The brand new printer, I've not tried the PTG on it yet, and I just put it in, and or I got a paying job, and I'm like, all right, well, let's see how it works on an actual real-life job. So I'm doing that now on the one, testing here on the other. But, well, it's after 5. I need to go find some dinner.
That's what I'm doing. I'm on my way to our favorite Chinese restaurant, Young's in Royal Oak. Picks up some din din. So it's all good.
Should ask Michelle what she wants. I'm gonna go upstairs here, but I want to video this next filament change.
Okay, let me get parked here, get inside, and get my chow food ski back in a bit. WAFU.
All right, I'll be the best.
NHKPP.
KEA TFM.
TFM, KZ83. What's going on, David?
Well, not too much. Just driving to go see my dad. And, yeah, that's about it. And after that, I'll figure out what I'm going to eat. So, how are you doing?
Good. Kim and I, my wife, Kim, we're going out by QTH, is that right? No, that's home. QTY, I think, is the better half. Going out to dinner. We got a close friend. And I'll tell you what, the roads are nice, but there's pure sheets of ice. Hopefully, I shouldn't say hopefully. I've been out already. The main roads are nice, so just ourselves. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, our sub is really bad, too. It's all ice. You hit the brakes, the ABS kicks on. So, yeah, our association, they only put salt in the cul-de-sac where the bus turns around. Otherwise, they don't put anything down. But I'm thinking they're going to call it in because it's borderline where it's almost a problem, it seems. So we'll see. Yeah, the roads, though, for the most part, they've been pretty clear, so that's good. Hopefully it stays that way.
Yeah, I just pulled out of our sub, and the street lamp that's there is on the ground, and the street sign pole is on the ground. Looks like a car hit it, so that must have happened earlier today. Yikes. It's pretty incredible. I mean, we've lived in Michigan forever, but still, you get that rain and then the snow on top of it, and going down a hill out onto a main street, and people still don't, you know, check out their brakes beforehand. I don't know. Listen to me standing on my soapbox saying, "Get off my lawn!" You got any ice fishing planned?
No, we weren't able to make it out today. And tomorrow we got hockey, so we'll be at a hockey game from, I think, 11:30 to about 1:30 or 2 when it ends. So we'll see what I feel like. We might head out tomorrow, but I haven't decided yet. I figure maybe if it stays this temp into tomorrow, we might. But it starts to get a little wet out there, and then it's, wet boots and everything else. So I don't know. We'll see. I think the boys got, ice fishing out of their system from the few times we went out, so last time, they, I don't think they liked it too much. There was like 20-mile-an-hour winds, and we had to walk probably a quarter mile to get in the deep enough water. So at least my youngest, I think he was like, yeah, that wasn't a lot of fun. So so we'll see. But, yeah, we still might get out there tomorrow. It'll time will tell. We'll see how the hockey.
Yeah. Don't ruin it for them. Don't come out too much and too harsh.
Get out there. We're going to ice fishing.
Does do both of your boys play hockey or just little Damien?
Yeah, just Damien. Yeah, he's been playing hockey probably 8 years. I think he started when he was like 4 to learn to skate and then went right into hockey. My daughter Olivia, she does ice skating. Figure skating. She did synchronized skating for a while, and then really from her whole high school was all figure skating. And then Colton, my youngest, he does karate. So he's been doing karate probably 4 years now. He does competitions and stuff. So yeah, that's how they all stay busy. But yeah, I wish we had two in hockey on the same team. It'd make it a little bit easier, but they all like something different. Colt's like me. He wants nothing to do with ice fishing or ice skating. I can't. I look like a baby deer on the ice, so I don't put ice skates on at all.
Okay, your new nickname is now Ankles. Hey, is it karate, or are you talking generically karate? What type of martial arts? Is it actual karate?
Yeah, so it's actual karate. So that's what he's doing. He's, what is he now? He's like 2 belts away from his junior black belt. He might be purple, maybe. I don't know. I think he's got like 2 or 3 more to go to the junior black belt. So, but yeah, it's the karate style. So I'm sure he'll do that till he hits his junior black belt and then, but at some point, I want to get him into another style, like jiu-jitsu, probably something like that to go along with it. We'll see what he decides.
Ah, very cool. Yeah, I think it might. Well, I don't know. I mean, karate. I know usually brown is before black. I did a lot of that, and we had our son in that also for quite a while. Different form, Korean. Kuk Sool Wan, a bunch of different types, but it was all Korean. Very cool. Yeah, I would definitely look at either Jiu-Jitsu or Krav Maga, both of those, and they go together, but can't go wrong with either of those. I got a buddy who's in Jiu-Jitsu, he also does Krav Maga, and both of those will keep him safe the rest of his life. But very good sport to be in. Hockey, wow. Hey, do you guys ever go to the rink over? I know you do the one in Troy, but there's that kind of sister rink of that one on, I think it's DeQuinder and Parkdale. Do you ever go there?
Yeah, so for my son played out of Suburban at 24 in DeQuinder. So that rink is where he started. My daughter skates out of there. That's Suburban, and Suburban has probably 5 different buildings. There's one in Macomb Township, Shelby. There's a few of them. But Macomb and Rochester Hills, Suburban locations, that's where my daughter skates out of now. The Troy is actually different. That's the Buffalo Wild Wings ice rink at 16 and Jar. So that's where my son does travel hockey. He's out of that one now. But I think we've probably at some point in the last 8 years been in some ice rink everywhere in Metro Detroit, all the way downriver to west side of the state. I think we've been in all of them at this point.
Ah, very good. As you know, that one, the Rochester, the Quinder one is really close to us. And it's nice in there. But, okay, we're pulling in here, Davian, so I'm going to let you go. Thanks for answering me back, and have a great one. 73 for KEATVN, TFM. There you go, KEAT.
All right, well, enjoy your dinner, and, yeah, chat with you later. Take it easy, Dave. KEA, EFM, I'll be clear.
This is Kilo Echo 2, Bravo Alpha Victory on Echo Link. Is there anyone out there can tell me where I can download the drivers to connect my FT891 to my laptop? I appreciate it. Over.
Kilo Echo 8, Zulu Uniform Whiskey.